The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show.
Welcome now to our show. There's a friend you all know. Charlotte Greenwood is with us again.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Charlotte Greenwood is brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday at this time by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards to remind you that on birthdays, on anniversaries, and every time you want to remember someone, you'll find a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say the way you want to say it. So when you choose a card, look on the back for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Like the word sterling on silver, those words, a Hallmark card, mean finest quality. Mean that you cared enough to send the very best. And don't forget, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And here is our star, that lovable lady of stage and screen, Charlotte Greenwood. Charlotte's a busy gal these days, what with helping to manage the Barton estate and keeping tabs on the three Barton children. But she can always find time for her weekly phone call to her manager, Roger Humphrey, in Hollywood. Right now, it's morning in the Barton mansion in Lakeview, and Charlotte is saying...
Heavens to Betsy, Roger, I know this phone call is running into money. Stop stewing. Don't you know people who get into stews always go to pot? Hmm? Now, what were you saying about my income tax? Oh, you made it out? Now, why did you do that? I've been trying for years to fill out my form. Of course I know how to figure income tax. It's perfectly simple. You withhold your withholdings, exempt your exemptions, deduct your deductions, and relate your relations. Then you add your SS to your WHT and subtract from item 4A on Schedule B. If you have anything left over, it's wrong. No, Roger, I've got to hang up in a minute and go hunting. That's right, hunting. We used to call it shopping. That was before the butcher started playing peekaboo. You have no idea what the meat situation is here in Lakeview, Roger. You know, you can't even sing Meet Me in St. Louis unless you change the meat to beans. The lady next door, she told me that she winked at the butcher and got lamb chops. I not only winked at him, I gave him one of my best and biggest smiles. And guess what we had for dinner? Spinach. Well, bye, Roger. I've got to go shopping and I've got to see Judge Cronin. I must be off. I said I must be off. Well, Roger, you don't have to agree with me. Bye.
Good morning, Judge.
It'll be $5 or 5 days.
Oh.
Oh, good morning, Miss Greenwood.
Well, I just thought I'd drop in and say hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Shopping, eh?
No, I haven't time for shopping. I was just buying some things I need.
Oh, well, sit down, my dear. I'm glad you dropped in. There's a little business matter I have to discuss with you.
Well, I have to hurry back home. You know, Mr. Anderson's coming out this morning. Couldn't we discuss it some other time?
Never put off today what you can put off tomorrow. Never put off tomorrow what you can put off today.
Well, there must be some way of saying that to make it come out right.
Yes, I haven't got the words in order.
No, well, maybe we better call off the whole thing.
Oh, no. Just sit right down.
All right. My, but isn't it too warm in here?
It's that pesky hot air heater. Something's wrong. I can't shut it off. Now, what I wanted to talk to you about is the Oak Street store. The news is a bit disturbing.
Why should I be disturbed about an Oak Street store? I never even heard of it.
Perhaps not, but just the same, you're a fourth owner in it.
I am? An owner of a store?
Yes, yes. You and the three Barton children have inherited it. For many years, it was a very exclusive and highly profitable shop. Then the neighborhood changed, the shopping district moved northward, a war plant and a new school were built near there, and... what's the matter? Is the hot air bothering you?
Yes, but keep on talking. Let's get finished.
Look, I am trying to tell you the business is doing very badly.
Yes, well, isn't there a better business bureau in Lakeview?
Certainly, but what's that got to do with it?
Well, call them up and have them make business better.
No, the bureau can't make business better.
Well, if a better business bureau can't make better business, then it better leave the business of making better business to a better business bureau.
Look, never mind. Will you please look at this?
What is it?
The financial statement of the store as of the close of last year.
Well, you said business was bad. Look at all that money.
No, you're looking at the wrong figures. The store lost all that money. If we put those loss figures in the profit column, they'd be gained.
Oh, how clever. That solves everything, doesn't it?
Solves everything?
Sure, we'll put all the figures over in the profit column and we'll make a fortune.
No, you can't do that.
Of course I can. Give me a pencil.
No. Don't touch that. Just look at it.
What is this figure here?
That is rent.
Rent?
Although the estate owns the property, the store has to rent storage space in a basement. It's part of the overhead.
Oh, that's silly. Who ever heard of an overhead basement?
The basement isn't overhead. That's simply an expression. Fixed overhead.
Yes, well, what's the matter with it?
Nothing.
Well, why did you have to have it fixed?
Miss Greenwood, it is like this. I'll be explicit. The store borrowed money from the bank. So, in a sense, you and the bank are in business together. Sort of partners.
Money and I are strangers. How can strangers be partners?
Look, you don't understand. The bank has a mortgage and intends to take the store away from you. Now, my advice, Miss Greenwood, is to get out from under. Sell the store, repay the loan, and take a very slight profit.
Only a tiny profit?
Well, better than losing everything.
Oh, well, all right. You know more about this business than I do, Judge Cronin. Well,
thank you. You see, I've already talked to a Mr. Hemming who thinks he can do something with the store. He mentioned
$5,000.
$5,000? Not bad. And, in fact, he's calling on you around noontime today.
Oh, then I must be running home. But, Judge, if the bank does take the store away, you can tell them one thing for me.
What?
That's a fine way to treat a partner.
Kitchen. Hurry up. Your lunch is all ready.
Oh, boy. You've been baking cake. Can I have a piece?
Here you are. Put it on the table with your lunch.
Gee, chocolate. I'm home early today, Aunt Charlotte. I ran all the way.
Oh, that's a long way, too. Do the other children go home for lunch at noon?
Oh, some of them. And some bring their lunches to school. And a lot just go over to Mike's and get candy bars.
Mike's?
That's the pool hall in the corner. Gee, am I hungry.
Wait a minute. Did you wash your hands?
Yes, sir. Right down till I stuck skin. See?
All right.
Hey, soup.
That ought to hit the spot on a cold day.
And it's got letters in it, too.
Hey, remember, like the letter H in the word school, they're silent. Now, when you finished your soup, there's a sandwich, and then you can have the piece of cake.
I thought you said we couldn't have any cake till next week. On account of we have to be on a budget.
Now, don't you tell Judge Cronin, but I fudged a little. This cake is on me. It's not on the budget.
Aunt Charlotte, what is a budget?
Robert, as near as I can explain it, a budget is a way of spending your money without getting any fun out of it.
I guess we haven't got much money to spend, have we?
Well, son, if wealth is a worry, we have very little to worry about.
We used to have money. My brother Jack says he remembers when we were rich instead of being poor.
Boy, I'll bet that boy remembers way back to gasoline. I wouldn't say we were poor. We're doing all right.
Just the same. Every day Jack says he doesn't know how we're going to make out tomorrow.
Robert, when you came in here, you didn't say, give me a piece of cake for next week. You wanted it now, and you got it now. Just remember, we have what we need today. And we've got this lovely house.
Yes, but we keep selling things out of it. Jack says we're selling everything we own, right out from under it. He says someday we'll have to sell the house, too. Who will we live in, Aunt Charlotte?
By that time, you youngsters will be grown-up men.
Maybe Jack will, but I won't. My sister Barbara won't either. She'll never be a grown-up man.
I think you got something there, son.
Where's she going to live?
Well, Barbara has already solved that problem. She seems to prefer living with her friends.
Yes, she doesn't like it here. She says she's ashamed of this place.
Oh, so that's why she doesn't come home.
You know what I think, Aunt Charlotte?
What?
I think we ought to stop selling things.
You know what I think, Robert?
What?
I think you ought to finish your lunch. Oh, there's the doorbell. Very likely, Mr. Hemming. Robert, if I'm still busy when you finish, will you run along to school like a good boy?
I'll walk. I can't run. They're too full.
Okay.
Good morning, Charlotte.
Why, Mr. Anderson, come in.
Well, thank you. I'm a little late. I hope you don't think I've stalled so as to be here just at lunchtime.
Oh, not at all. In fact, lunch is over.
Lunch is over.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, practically over. That is Robert's lunch. I haven't eaten yet.
Oh, Robert's lunch.
Yes.
I see. Good, good. Marvelous boy, Robert. A swell kid.
Yes, I'm postponing my lunch until after Mr. Hemming is gone.
Uh-oh.
He's due here right now.
Hemming? Who's Hemming?
I don't know. Until this morning, I never even heard of him. But you see, we own the Oak Street store, and Mr. Hemming wants to buy it for $5,000.
$5,000? Well, that's a fine price for that rundown pile of junk. But there's something fishy about that proposition. That place has been in the red for the past 20 years. It's practically gone. Oh, look, if that's Hemming, just let me do the talking. All you need to do is to agree with me.
Well, Mr. Anderson, wait.
Howdy-do. Hemming's the name.
Oh, yes. Come in, Mr. Hemming. Judge Cronin told me all about you.
Well, I'll allow you're Mrs. Greenwood.
Well, thanks for allowing it, but it isn't Mrs. Greenwood. It's Miss Greenwood.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're sorry. And this is Mr. Anderson?
Yes, I'm acting as Miss Greenwood's fiscal agent. I understand that you're interested in the Oak Street store.
Maybe.
Well, you're making no mistake, Mr. Hemming. That's a wonderful buy.
Yes, Mr. Anderson says it's a fishy proposition.
Yeah. No, a flashy proposition. Flashy.
Charlotte. Well, what's so flashy about it?
Flashy. The storefront. Yes, the way it's painted.
Yes, sir. It certainly stands out in the fog.
Fog? I don't know what you mean by fog.
Oh, so you're from California.
I was born right here in Lakeview. And about this flashy business, the store looked pretty shabby to me in that green and yellow paint.
Oh, it isn't green and yellow.
Oh, guess you ain't seen it lately. It is green and yellow.
No, Mr. Anderson says it's definitely in the red.
You see, Mr. Hemming, when it comes to business, Miss Greenwood is a bit, naive? Yes, let's say naive. Now, if you'll let me explain the store's financial possibilities...
Well, we're wasting time. We can settle this thing right off. I'm offering you $5,000.
What? $5,000 for a going business?
Better than that. Mr. Anderson said it's practically gone.
Now look, $5,000 is my price. You can take it or leave it.
Why, it's the most ridiculous proposition I've ever heard. Do you imagine that we'll dispose of that up-and-coming concern for a mean, paltry $5,000?
Yep.
You're right, we'll take it.
I'm sorry, we won't.
But we won't.
No, I've changed my mind.
But Charlotte...
If the store is worth $5,000 to Mr. Hemming, it's worth $5,000 to us.
But...
If he can make a success of it, so can we.
But Charlotte, listen...
Now look, if this is a trick to sell at a higher price, you're wasting your time, my blonde and beautiful lady.
I'll settle for the blonde. We're not selling at any price at all.
All right, if that's the way it is, I'll bid you good day.
Oh, Charlotte, have you lost your senses?
On the contrary, I've just found them. I've got a great idea.
But don't you realize what you've done, Charlotte? You'll never get another offer. Experienced people have made a failure of that sort. It's a colossal flop. You and your ideas. Now I've heard everything.
Oh, no, Mr. Anderson. You haven't heard anything. Yet.
Although Valentine's Day is 3 weeks from next Wednesday, it's not too early to choose your Valentine. This Valentine's Day will be even more important than in years gone by. It'll be a time when almost all of us will be sending our loving thoughts to dear ones, some very far away, perhaps. And for each of those dear ones, there's a hallmark Valentine that says just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. You'll find cards with affectionate sentiments. And many humorous Valentines, too. For Mother, there are beautiful lacy designs, charming as an old-fashioned nosegay. There are special Valentines for Dad, for wives, for husbands. Little cutouts for the children. And, of course, there are sweetheart messages galore with Valentine hearts and flowers and all the trimmings. Make it a point this week to see the complete selection of distinguished, original Valentines at your Hallmark dealers. Hallmark cards are on display at America's finest stores. Remember, for Valentine's Day and all occasions, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. To resume our story. Charlotte has made up her mind not to sell the Oak Street store after all. Instead, she has decided to step in and manage it herself. So now we find her entering the store.
Yeah? Can I help you, lady?
Oh, you're Mr. Mills, aren't you?
That's right.
I'm Miss Greenwood. I talked to you on the phone about an hour ago.
Oh, you're the new manager, huh? Well, this is it. Look around.
Thank you.
I guess you'll find I have everything as it should be.
Yes, you do seem to have everything, but some of it should be in a museum.
Oh, you have to have this kind of stuff when you go in for notions.
Well, who would ever have a notion to go in for this kind of stuff?
Now, listen, lady, all our merchandise is strictly class.
Yes, I can see it is. Class of 1910. What is that over there?
Soda fountain. But I boarded it up. Who's going to sit down and suck a soda through a straw nowadays?
Well, Barnum said there's a sucker born every minute. What's in there?
Kitchen and a couple of rooms. Used to be living quarters, but I just use them to rest in.
I don't imagine you're disturbed very often.
You ain't kidding. Business was bad enough around here even before they tore down the other stores to make room for that school. But now, brother, you got a high pressure to do a nickel's worth of business.
High pressure?
Yeah, that's something you want to learn if you're going to manage this place.
Well, I want to learn everything I can. Tell me about it.
Okay, it's like this. Now, supposing you come in here to buy a snood. Along with the snood, I sell you a brush, a comb, and a mirror.
You couldn't sell me all that stuff.
Oh, yes, I could. I'm an expert at it. Now, supposing we got a special today, 69-cent snood. You be a customer that comes in to buy one, and I'll show you how it's done.
All right, I want to buy a 69-cent snood.
Why, sure, lady. How about a comb and a brush and a mirror? How about a comb and a brush and a mirror? Oh, why don't you say something?
I just want to convince you what a hard job it is.
Yeah, no. You don't get it.
All right, I really don't want it.
I mean, you don't get the idea. Now, okay, let's start all over. You come in the store and say, and I say to you, something for you, lady?
No, thank you. Not a thing.
But you gotta buy something.
I certainly don't. I wouldn't trade in a store of this kind.
Then why did you come in here?
Because I am the new manager.
Yeah. Oh, no, no. Now, look. Let's work it the other way around. I'll be the customer, see? Now, how do you do? I want to buy a snood.
Oh, now, really?
Listen, I say I want a snood.
All right, but you're going to look awfully funny in it.
No, turn on the high pressure. See, now you got to sell the... You know, sell me the comb, the brush, and the mirror.
All right, would you like to comb your hair?
No.
Would you like to brush your hair?
No.
Would you like to look in the mirror?
No.
I don't blame you.
I'll come in again. How do you do? I want a snood.
I'm snorry. We've just closed.
But you haven't closed.
Well, I'm getting tired enough to close.
All right. How much is this snood?
69 cents.
Oh, 69 cents. They sell them across the street for $0.50.
Well, then get one across the street.
They're out of them.
Well, when we're out of them, we sell them for a quarter.
Listen, lady, ask me about the brush, the comb, and the mirror.
All right, but stop changing the subject. Now, do you want to buy a brush, comb, or mirror?
Is it a hand mirror?
No, it's a face mirror. Who'd want to look at the hand?
Oh, I give up.
Well, I told you it wouldn't work.
All right, so you think that you can manage the store, do you, and make it pay?
I certainly do, and without having to sell each customer a brush, a comb, and a mirror.
Well, sister, you haven't got a chance. You want to know why we carry all this old junk? We haven't got the money to buy any new stock. We haven't got the credit. We don't even do enough business to pay a clerk.
We don't need a clerk. You and I can handle everything.
Oh, that's just wonderful. Only you're going to have to get along without me, Miss Greenwood.
Oh, but I can't possibly run the store without some help. You know, I have a home to take care of, too. I'm pretty busy.
Oh, you're going to be a lot busier, because you're going to be manager, floor walker, clerk, cashier, delivery boy, and janitor. Because I quit.
Living room, Miss Greenwood.
Yes, come in, Junior.
Well, I got the rest of that stuff stored in the attic.
Oh, it's lucky we've got a large attic in this house.
Yes, it is. Oh, say, have you heard my newest joke?
Is it funny?
Yeah.
I haven't heard it.
Well, listen to Pipper. Now, listen. If I found... this is going to kill you. If I found 2 bits in one coat pocket and 50 cents in the other, what would I have?
Somebody else's coat on.
Oh, shucks, you're not supposed to know the answer. I got that joke fresh from a friend.
Yes, how is Joe Miller?
See, you're slicker in a blue shirt suit, you know. Well, I guess you better be getting downtown to my regular job now. But anytime you need a handyman again, just start buzzing, cousin.
Thank you, Junior. You're a big help.
Oh, thanks. See, Miss Greenwood, I'd like to ask you, well, it's sort of personal question.
Now, be careful, Junior.
Yeah, I will. Do you believe that love at first sight could lead to wedding bells?
I certainly do, but every man I've ever met has always taken a second look.
Oh, Jay, you know, you have the slickest way of putting the fella off.
Huh?
Oh, yeah, but now, no fooling. This is Sunday, and you ain't so busy. How about riding downtown with me in my car?
Why, Junior, can you drive with one hand?
Huh? Drive with one hand? Oh, yes, sure, I'll say I can.
Well, that's fine. Here's an apple to eat on your way.
Oh, shucks. Trapped again. You're always getting me, ain't you? What's that?
Oh, at last. Charlotte,
Oh, hello, Mr. Anderson.
I've phoned every day for the past month, and I've come to the house, and nobody's ever home. At last, I find your front door open. Now, where in the name of common sense have you been?
Well, I've been busy at the store.
What are you talking about? What store?
The Oak Street store.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Charlotte. You surely didn't go through with that crazy idea about running that place.
What's crazy about it?
Because where do you fit into this picture?
Oh, Junior's been helping me in his spare time. You know, he's my assistant.
And bodyguard.
Bodyguard?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, certainly. Why, just the other day, a fella came into the store and started to get smart. Well, I uncorked one with my right.
You did?
Then I uncorked one with my left.
What?
Then I uncorked another with my right.
Wait, you were fighting right there in the store?
No, he was opening Coca-Cola.
Gotcha. Oh, this whole thing is absurd. Charlotte, how could you go down there and work in what practically amounts to a junk shop?
There isn't any more junk shop. We closed it out.
Uh-huh. Well, I warned you you'd never make a go of it.
No, nobody can make a go of that kind of store.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I'll answer the bell, Miss Greenwood. I got ankle long anyway. Sorry you won't go for a ride, but I can dream, can I?
Yes, and you'll meet a much better class of people.
Oh, you're a card.
Well, all I can say, Charlotte, is that I hope it's taught you a lesson.
Oh, it certainly has. Judge Cronin was right. The neighborhood simply won't support a store like that.
Yeah, yeah. And when you come right down to it, running a business is a man's job. That's not for a woman.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what you think, Mr. Anderson. Well, Judge Cronin, welcome back home.
Don't you welcome me. I go out of town for a few weeks, and when I return, what do I find?
But you haven't been missed.
Yeah, you took different...
Please. That'll be enough out of you. Miss Greenwood, what's happening about selling the Oak Street store to Mr. Hemming? First he's cold, then he's hot, then he's cold again. What's he doing?
Well, from your description, he must be taking a shower. A lot of flies
in this
old
house. For a minute, too. I'm talking about the Oak Street store deal.
Yes, well, that was called off.
Yes, Charlotte decided not to sell.
Aha! I suspected you had a hand in this, so she acted on your advice against mine, eh?
No, I can't understand it, Cronin. I must be slipping. But this time I was on your side.
What?
I did everything I could to induce her to sell.
Then, Miss Greenwood, whose advice did you take?
Robert.
Robert? Mm-hmm. You mean Bobby's? You took the advice of a 12-year-old boy?
That's right. He reminded me of something I should have thought of myself.
Reminded you? Mm-hmm. Reminded you of what?
That this is his home, that it belongs to him and the other Barton children. It's something for them to have and to hold and to be proud of. A place to bring their friends. A home should be kept together and not sold out piece by piece.
Well, I quite agree with you, but... What's that got to do with the Oak Street store?
Well, don't you see? That was the only chance to keep a home, was to get a little income, and the store offered that opportunity.
Well, I'm sorry, Miss Greenwood, but you've reckoned without the bank. They're foreclosing at the end of the month. So now you've lost everything.
Oh, wait a minute. There was a mortgage on the store?
Yes.
Oh, good grief.
Yes, well, the mortgage was on the junk store, as you call it, but Junior and I changed all that.
You
changed all that?
Mm-hmm. What did you do?
Well, we turned it into a lunchroom for school children.
A lunchroom for school children?
Mm-hmm. I got that idea from Robert, too.
But look, you can't do that. The bank
But we have done it. A lot of children live too far away to go home for lunch.
But that doesn't make any difference. You see, the bag
It makes a lot of difference. Now the children come into our place and they get a wholesome lunch.
Yeah, but just the same, the bag
And the shop's full of youngsters laughing and scuffling and yelling for sandwiches and milkshakes and ice cream cones. I've dipped down into an ice cream freezer so often I've got frosted elbows.
Look, Miss Greenwood, what I'm trying to tell you is that changing the place from a store to a lunchroom doesn't wipe out the loan. The bank still demands its money.
No, no. The bank's agreed to carry the loan for another year.
And since you've been...
What? The bank agreed to carry...
That's right. The man came down here and he saw the business that we were doing with the children and with the customers at the war plant, and he drew up a new agreement.
Well, you're maintaining your record, Cronin. You're still 100%. Always wrong.
What's talking to you anyway? Why, Miss Greenwood, this is amazing. And imagine, you're getting the idea from Robert. Now, why didn't I think of that?
Well, Robert was right there, and I'm sure you would have thought of it if you went to school.
Why, sure, Cronin, it still isn't too late to stop.
I did go to school.
Now, boys.
You see, as of this, Cronin, you and I had just better keep out of things. Charlotte's smart enough to figure out which side her bread is buttered on.
Oh, you don't have to be smart for that, Mr. Anderson. It really doesn't matter which side your bread is buttered on. After all, you do eat both sides.
Charlotte Greenwood will be back in a moment. Meanwhile, I want to remind you again, the next time you buy a card for any occasion, look on the back for the identifying words, a Hallmark card. H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K. A Hallmark card. Like sterling on silver, those three words are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Yes, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And I'll Charlotte Greenwood.
Friend, I've been thinking about that store and what was wrong with it. It reminded me of certain persons that you know and I know. They blame everything on their surroundings. They tell themselves they can't change conditions, and there's nothing to do but drift along. Well, it's true that conditions may be as difficult to change as it is to change the course of a river. But that doesn't mean that you have to drift down with the current. You can still get in there and swim upstream. And now... And now until next Sunday at the very same time, this is Charlotte Greenwood saying...
So long, friends, until we meet again. So long, neighbor, till next Sunday, I'm just saying. So long, so long.
Charlotte Greenwood Show with music by Charles Hathaway, his orchestra, and the Hallmark Chorus came to you from Hollywood. This is Wendell Niles speaking.
This is the Blue Network. 12:30 at KECA, Los Angeles. By transcription.
If you want anything, all you have to do is whistle.
Lauren Bacall says that to Humphrey Bogart in a Howard Hawks production To Have and Have Not. See it.
Now playing at Warner's Hollywood, Downtown, Wiltern Theaters. Also, Pledge to Baton. Listen to the Andrews Sisters' new show at 1:30 today.